Thank you, Bossett. What a story of God's goodness. I don't know if you caught it. What did this symbolize? He said a symbol of what? Anybody? Love and hope. And how many, I know there's a bunch of us, but how many have been here for an evening of packing shoeboxes? Raise your hand. Yeah, lots. I really encourage us to plan that on your schedule. And I know Liz does a phenomenal job of keeping us informed here at church when that's coming. But an opportunity to fill a box and boxes as a symbol of love and hope for Jesus to kids around the world. Also noted, or I picked up 230 million shoe boxes. That's a lot of shoe boxes. That's exciting. Thank you again for coming. Last weekend, there was a group of us men that had the honor and the privilege of being together for the second time this year at Cross Creek. We will be sharing in the future sometime, a few of us, of what God's doing in our lives through that. And so, yeah, thank you for your prayers about that. For those of you who prayed for us, and God is at work. I can testify to that. Praise and worship team, if you would want to make your way forward. We're also excited this morning because Pastor Mike has stepped out of retirement from the past 3 months and is going to be sharing with us here this morning, and then he's going right back into retirement. And so, no, he's on sabbatical this year, as we know, or for 6 months, but he's back for the month of August, and then 3 months again, and then back with the leadership team, and excited for what God has laid on his heart. I'm going to have you all stand. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then Travis and the team will lead us in songs of worship. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the work that you're doing in this world, in our own world of influence where we are this morning, but abroad through the church of Jesus Christ across the face of this earth. God, we say thank you, Jesus. We praise you. You're our King. You're our Savior. You meet us right where we are. Thank you, Jesus. And as we think of the story that we heard this morning of Bossett's life and the way that you showed love and hope through a shoebox of items that was packed for him, God, I just pray this is just one way that we can do this, but there's many ways that we can show Jesus, and I pray that you would reveal that to us and open our eyes to the needs around us, God. They're all over. And so, God, this morning, we just say thank you again for your mercy, your love, salvation. And as we worship you in song, I pray, God, that you would just lead us. We are here to bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please remain standing as we sing this morning. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, and in his love he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." So this morning, let's lift our voices, let's rejoice, let's sing praises to the one who rejoices over his people, to the mighty one who saves. Let's sing together.
Let mercy fall on me. Forever, author of salvation. Calvary, my Savior went courageously, and there he bled and died for me. Hallelujah for the cross. And on that day the world was changed, a final perfect lamb was slain. Let earth and heaven now proclaim, hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought, hallelujah for the cross. What good I've done could never save, my debt too great for deeds to pay. But God my Savior made a way, hallelujah for the cross. A slave to sin my life was found, but all my chains fell to the ground. When Jesus' blood came flowing down, hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought, love is won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought, hallelujah for the cross. My final breath, I'll have no need to fear that rest. This hope will guide me into death. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought, love is won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought, hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought, love is won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought, hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross.
Amen. You may be seated.
A good morning to all of you. Greetings in Christ's name to each one of you this morning. It has been good to be here to worship with you and to hear of what God is doing, and I was blessed by Bossett and his testimony of what God is doing through the Shoebox Ministry, and praise the Lord for that, and thank you again for sharing. Before we get into the message, before I start to share here, I get the privilege of announcing Josh shared this on our group this morning of a baby boy that was born to Colby and Carrie, Jude Colby, born at 7:12 this morning. So congratulations to them and Mark and Dorothy, the grandparents. Like Kurt said, I guess I'm back in the saddle again. And for a short time, and so it's good. I think it's just to keep me from getting rusty. If you don't use something too long, things get rusty. So hopefully this will help with that, maybe. But it's been a while since I've been up here, so I hope your expectations aren't too high. The message this morning, I'm going to be sharing a little bit of, like I said, it's been 3 months of our sabbatical here, the last 3 months, and we've enjoyed some time off. I know many of you were asking what our travel plans were and all that, and we did end up going to all the way down to Tennessee. We spent a week in Tennessee at a cabin back in July, and we really enjoyed that. And then 2 weeks ago, we were able to go out to Colorado and spend a week at Ellerslie Mission Society. And that was a very good week for us, very enriching, and just taking in the classes there. It's in Windsor, Colorado, and I'm going to share a little bit this morning, just from our experience or what we learned there, Eric and Leslie Ludi, a couple that run the mission there. I'm sure many of you have heard of them. Quite a few of our youth, or some of our youth, have gone out there, and I believe Carmen is planning on going out here in a couple weeks. They are a couple that have Eric, I believe, has written about 17 books. And he's written a few of them together, collaborated with his wife, and she has a ministry as well called Set Apart, and they traveled all over the world speaking and obviously selling their books through that and doing very well with that. And so God called them to go from, the way he put it, speaking to tens of thousands of people. These classes are small. It's an intimate setting. There was maybe 80 some people there in a small chapel. And so they gave up that for doing these discipleship classes, discipleship training, as they call it. And they do a 5-week semester, and then they do what they call a 1-week intensive, which is what Katie and I went through. And so they're actually in the middle of some pretty big changes for them right now in the process. They are planning to focus on what they're going to call pastoral and ministry training. And that's going to be a big part of the year, maybe an 8-month term, if I remember right. And they're still going to do the week, 5-week, the 1-week, but they're going to be pushed together more, maybe at the front end of the year, at the first of the year. And so, but their main focus is going to be on pastoral and ministry training. So if it's something that some of you youth, or anybody for that matter, have been had on your radar, you might want to keep that in mind and check the timing of those are going to be a little different than what they have been in the past. And Eric is a great speaker, and he's a very passionate man. And one of the things that he said he would like to see before he dies is to see the modern day seminary crushed, is the word that he used, to see those go away, to be put away. Because in his view, they focus on teaching the Bible, giving head knowledge, but there's no focus on the heart. And they do very well with that there, in focusing, getting the students to focus on themselves, on their own personal relationship, and then allowing God to use you, ministering out of that. And I believe it's a very worthy concept. So I'm going to share a little bit this morning, like I said, of what we went through. I wasn't exactly sure what this was going to be like. when we went out there, whether if it's going to be some deep theological, but it was probably exactly the opposite of that, which is what Eric's talking about when he says that he doesn't appreciate the way modern seminaries teach and how they prepare pastors for ministry. What they do is they take the very basic foundations of our faith and they go deep. They bring out some very profound points, some stuff, but they keep it at a low level for anybody to be able to get and to grasp. They do very well at that. And so I'm just going to share a couple topics that they shared with us, things that stuck out to me, I guess, and just share that with you guys. The first one this is just barely scratching the surface of what we actually were exposed to there. But the first one is having a personal relationship with Jesus and just knowing Jesus. And the Greek has different words for terms where we would simply use the word know. We have a lot of words in our English language. The English language is actually a very shallow language. We have a lot of words that we use for two different meanings. I made a list there. Homographs, I believe, is what they call them. Just for example, bark. We have a word, bark. It means the skin of a tree, or it can mean a dog barking, the bark of a dog, or a bat, a baseball bat, or a mouse that can fly. Bear can have the bear, the animal, or bearing something. Can, crane, fair, bow. Those are all words that have different meanings. So we have to know in the context of how they're used, what they mean, where other languages have different words for different meanings. I'm not sure why you would, some of these like bark and bat, why you give the same name to two completely different objects, but that's the way it is. And we don't seem to have a problem figuring it out, but that's just the way it is. And so knowing Jesus in a personal way or just knowing about him are two separate words in the Greek. The one is gnosko and the other is gnostos. They're from the same root, but they're spelled different. They're two completely different words. And so gnosko is knowing someone in a deep, personal, intimate way, having a relationship with somebody. And then gnostos is just knowing information. An example would be like a headline. Knowing, reading a headline, having news information, and knowing about something versus actually knowing something on a personal level. And so that's what I'm bringing out here. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says that, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed unto death, being like Christ died to his death. And so the word in the Greek that is used here is the word that means having a personal relationship, having intimate knowledge. So the question for us is, do we know Jesus in that way? Or do we just know about him? If we know him in that personal way, the way we would know a close friend or or a spouse or somebody that we're really close with, we know what pleases that person. We know what displeases that person. We know, and so knowing Jesus in that way, we will know what Jesus wants from us, how we serve him, and all that. And so, again, the question is, and that is the gnosko, know. Do you know Jesus in that way? And the our eternity is based on that exact fact, is whether we know him in a deep personal relationship way, or do we just know about him? I'll give you some examples here in John 17, where Jesus is praying for prays for himself. He prays for the disciples. Then he prays for all believers. But in the first part of that chapter, Jesus says, he prays these words, and he says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know." And it's the same word used as what's used in Paul in the Greek, the gnosko, and it's that they may know you, talking about God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so he's saying that this is eternal life, that they may know you and Jesus. And so eternal life hinges on the fact that you know Jesus Christ and that you have that intimate, personal, close relationship with him. Another example of that same word of knowing is in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, in your name did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not do many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness,'" or in other words, sin. And like I said, both of these examples mean knowing someone. It is the word of not just knowing of something, but knowing in an intimate, relational way. Eternal life begins here on earth. That's what Jesus is saying. We have a relationship with him now. And he says that this is eternal life, that you know him, that you have that relationship with him. And so again, the challenge for us this morning, for you, is that do you know Jesus in that way? Do you have that intimate, close relationship with him? One of the interesting things that we see there that took place at Ellerslie is the fact that there's people from all over the world that come to those classes they come there. Eric has a podcast. There's a lot of like I said, he wrote books. He traveled all over the world, and so they're well known. And people come from. There was a young man there from Australia. I believe there was some people from Nicaragua, and possibly some other countries that I don't remember. But and then there was people from all over the United States there as well. And it's kind of a melting pot of people coming together. And there was actually a gentleman, an Amishman from Pennsylvania, Lancaster, there with three of his children. And so, yeah, just it's of any age, people are there. And any of all different kinds of denominations, and they come together there. And Eric talks about this, of how there's no divisions, there's no strife or nothing. Everybody comes there and is able to worship together, is able to learn together, and the reason for that is because of the focus on things that unite, things that are important rather than the things that divide. And one of the topics that that he had was what he called the five fingers of the gospel. And so Paul says, in asking what is the gospel, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew and also for the Greek." And then in verse 17, he says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So the gospel of Christ is the power of God. It is where we find our power. And so he brings out that the gospel is revealed to us in five different ways. And the first one is that is in text, which are the scriptures. The gospel in text, the scriptures. The second one is the word of God in the scriptures, and then the word of God in person, which is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh came to us, and then the word of God in action, which is the cross. Jesus went to the cross, and we believe in that, and then the word of God in us, which is the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. And then the fourth one they call the point. It's the point of the four others, the scriptures, Jesus, the cross, the Holy Spirit. The point of all of that is for the point of all of that, and it is within us, is for us to be able to do what God wants you and I to do. And that's why they call it discipleship training, for us to go out and do and accomplish what God wants us to do, what he wants to do through us. And so God wants to use each one of us to reveal himself to the world, to go out and to make an impact, to go out and make a difference among your people. Kurt talked about that this morning, and Bossett as well, of going out and being a witness, going out and revealing who God is to the people around us, whether it's your coworkers or your neighbors or your family, whether they are not believers or if they are believers. God in us, the Holy Spirit in us, the scriptures in us, knowing Jesus and believing in the cross, all those things, the point that God has revealed all of those things to us is for us to go and be his disciples, to do the work that he wants us to be doing. And like I said, that is, in a nutshell, that's probably the biggest thing, the biggest reason that they are doing what they are doing, is to equip every believer to go out. That's why they went from speaking to tens of thousands of people to having 80 or 90 people there for 5 weeks or for a week, to be able to make an impact in their lives, to send them out and impact the world around them. Where speaking to 20,000 people one night will not have the impact. It inspires them, but people leave there and will not have the impact of what having somebody for a length of time and actually making an impact in their lives and allowing them to grow and then going out and making an impact in the world. In Luke 14, verse 26, and this is talking about going out and being a disciple, going out and doing the work of God through Christ in us, is it says, "Jesus said, 'If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And so Jesus is saying it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to follow me, to be my disciples. And he's not saying that we should start hating on those people, but what he's saying is that you need to love me more than you love those people. You need to have me the number one priority in your life. Having a greater love for God, having a greater love for Jesus than things or those people. It's going to cost you, and this is something that Eric brought out. We often think of what it's going to cost me. What is if I do this or if I do that? What is that going to cost me? And an illustration that he gave that really stuck out to me is how we as Christians so often we sit there with a handful of pebbles, or we sit there with maybe five little pebbles in our hands, and we cling to those. Every one of us has to answer for ourselves what those things are. But we sit there and we hold on to those, where if we would drop them and allow and surrender those to Jesus, what he has for us is what he said, a million train cars full of diamonds. And yet we sit there and we hold on to these little pebbles in our hands that we cling to because we don't want to let them go. But what that's what Jesus is saying here in Luke 14. He says that if you don't love me more than all these things, then you're not worthy of me. And so he wants total surrender to him. And that's the challenge for myself and for all of us this morning, is not to think of what we're giving up in those little pebbles, but to think of what we gain. We gain Jesus Christ. We gain eternal life. We gain salvation when we surrender our lives to him in that way. In closing here, I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1, a few verses here yet as we wrap this up. But a big part what he calls ancient Christianity, or the only Christianity that works. We try so much in our own strength or in our clinging to those pebbles, doing our own thing, but the only Christianity that works is Christ inside of us, Christ in us. And the Bible says that Christ is in us, we are in Christ. Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and so if we are in Christ, we are seated at the right hand of God as well. And we have endless power, an endless frontier for us to be able to go into. But in Colossians 1, I'm going to read verses 24 through 29. It says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And Paul's talking about a sacrificial life of service for Christ. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery of which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory, of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in the wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And so, verse 27, the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then he goes on to say, in him we preach, warning every man. God's desire, John 3:16, God's desire is for every person to know Jesus, to get to know that, to have that gnosko relationship with him, to know him in a personal way, that we can have eternal life. Eternal life starts here on earth in that personal relationship and knowing him, surrendering our lives to him, letting go of those pebbles that we hang on to, and receive so much more than what we could ever even dream of is what God has for us when we surrender to him. And so, like I said, it was a very enriching time for my wife and I, and challenges here that are for me to apply to my life. And so I hope you have been challenged this morning as well. So why don't we all stand, and God bless you for being here. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you this morning for who you are. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the mystery that you have revealed to us, that you have made a way for Jesus Christ to be inside of us, and for us, therefore, to be in you, and through that we are seated in heavenly places. And Lord, we commit our lives to you. We surrender all that we are, all that we have, and all that we can ever be to you. And we just ask that we would be able to walk out the works and what you have for us, Lord, as we go from here, as we go throughout this next week, Lord, I ask for your protection and your blessing over each person here. And just reveal yourself to us, God, in a deeper way as we walk with you, Lord. Thank you for each person here this morning. May your blessing and your spirit be poured out over each person, God. Thank you again for your word. Continue to speak to us and reveal yourself to us, God. We commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.